Dick Osgood with today's news and notes from the show world. Here's where you catch up with what's going on in the movies, theater, and radio. Presenting the man who has answers for your questions, Dick Osgood.
Hello again. Right off the bat, we tell you that he's here. We mean, of course, Edward Everett Horton. So we'll skip answers to your questions today and cut news items to the merest bone so that we can get right down to the pièce de résistance.
Oh, now, really, Mr. Osgood, if you're going to call me names, that's very good.
Sure has been a big weekend for news. Bill Powell married again, thus cutting Mickey Rooney out of a favorite girlfriend. John Barrymore in trouble with a furniture company. Betty James and Douglas MacPhail becoming proud pappy and mammy. And the Vivian Leigh divorce coming to a head. Miss Lee makes no comment, incidentally, except that she wants you to know that she and Laurence Olivier met and fell in love after they had already separated from their present mates. Jean Dickinson, popular radio singer, makes her operatic debut at the Metropolitan January 26. That's on a Friday so that it will not be broadcast. Glenn Miller and Bob Chester are feuding over similarity of style, which takes us back about 10 years to the time when Rudy Valley and Will Osborne almost came to blows in the same kind of a fight. That flying school in San Fernando Valley, whose noisy airplanes have bothered the studios no end, but which had the backing of the War Department, has been ordered closed. Last Friday, when his picture opened at the Fox here, Kay Kaiser was playing a one-night stand in New York State. Incidentally, the Fox Theater is referred to in the picture, but not by name. Thanks to the Free Press for highlighting tonight's Fact Finder program. Also thanks to Jimmy Pooler for crediting us with a Geronimo anecdote in today's column. We tried that quiz in Pooler's Sunday column, by the way, and can brag that we raked 90%. Didn't cheat, either. Biggest commercial network hookup on the air in 1939 was Youth vs. Age, which sold Sloan's Liniment to the audiences of 105 stations on NBC Blue. Still does, as a matter of fact. Alec Templeton has moved headquarters from Chicago to New York for 5 weeks. The Canadian Mounted Police are now guarding all the radio transmitters in Canada against possible sabotage. Mary Lou Harrington's proud daddy called in to report a letter from the ex-Children's Theater of the Air kid, who is now doing a picture with Cary Grant and Irene Dunne. Mary Lou writes that when Cary Grant found out she can sing, he elected himself her accompanist, and the two have great times together between shots at RKO. Cary Grant accompanied Mary Lou as she sang Happy Birthday to You to Irene Dunne a week or so ago. David Niven has disappeared. Even his studio can't find him. He's somewhere in London. Congratulations to Norman Rustin of the University of Michigan for selling his play to the Theater Guild. The Russ Morgans are imaging, says Mr. Winchell. So, I might add, are Mr. and Mrs. Lone Ranger. John Garth play in Heavenly Express for the Group Theater. Show World listeners will be interested to hear that the many who wrote to Eddie Buchanan through this program about forming a little theater group in Detroit's Northwest section hold their first meeting tomorrow. Pietro Di Donato is turning his novel, Christ in Concrete, into a play, and he hopes to play the leading role himself. Only 3 openings on Broadway this week, incidentally. Victor Kolar, conductor of the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, is definitely set for an interview on Show World next Wednesday. He will talk about Victor Herbert, whom he knew. Mr. Kolar, according to my mice, shed sentimental tears at a private showing of the Victor Herbert picture, which opens at the Michigan on Friday. Speaking of mice, my favorite mouse in town here squeals that there's a rumor around town that John Barrymore played his show in a wheelchair in Chicago the other night. According to the rumor, John was having some slight difficulty with his navigation. Suddenly, with a broad gesture and in his grandest manner, he declared, "Tonight, I will be Lionel." On second thought, how come there to be a wheelchair handy? Martha Ray is through with Paramount. The French picture Harvest, which won an award from the New York Movie Critics, opens at the Cinema Theater here today. Her friends say that Miriam Hopkins is romancing with a book publisher and may marry him. And now let's get right down to the pièce de résistance, a celebrity you're all waiting to meet, the son of a newspaper man of New York, the Columbia University student, the Gilbert and Sullivan chorus boy, the...
Mr. Osgood, I beg your pardon.
Please. The man who got his Broadway break through Louis Mann, who's been making you laugh with his comedy tricks and pictures for 20 years.
Mr. Osgood.
Yeah, I know. You want to sit in the studio here while we interview the movie and stage star. All right. But please be quiet. We're on the air.
But I want to tell you where are we? Excuse me.
The man who was starring at the Cass Theater this week in Springtime for Henry and appearing in an important feature role at the Fox Theater with Kay Kaiser in the picture. That's right, you're wrong. I mean, of course...
Henry Dulip.
Huh?
Henry Dulip, that's me. I'm Henry Dulip.
Yes, Mr. Dulip. There's a chair right over there. Will you please... Hey, wait a minute. You look like Edward Everett Horton.
Oh, do I? Thank you. It's very flattering. Of course I resemble Edward Everett Horton. Of course I do. I am Edward Everett Horton. Yeah.
But you said your name was Henry Dulip.
Well, it is, it is. I am Henry Dulip. That is, I am in my place, Springtime for Henry.
Oh, I see. When it comes to being now, Edward Everett Horton, now you are and now you aren't.
Yes. Now, ask me about my antiques, will you?
It's amusing, isn't it, about your being Edward Everett Horton now and then?
Well,
and
it's amusing, yes, and confusing, too. But you know, I'm never surprised when I meet myself coming back from where I'm going. Or could that be? Let me see.
No, Mr. Horton, that could not be.
It couldn't, huh? Oh, dear, and it sounded so positive. I'm having such a splendid time.
Yes,
ask
me
about my antiques.
Later. We suppose we get down to cases now, Mr.
Oh,
Horton.
Let's, by all means. What's in them? In the cases? What's in them? What do you mean?
Questions about Edward Everett Horton, the real you, Mr. Horton.
Oh, yes, do go right ahead. You're on my favorite subject now. Yes. Ask me anything. Almost anything.
Well, first of all, are you ever serious?
Oh, my dear fellow, any fellow that makes any claim to being a comic, he's got to be serious. He's got to be serious all the time.
Well, what's the most serious part you ever played?
You ever? Let's see. Was it Hamlet? No, I giggled all through Hamlet. I think the one I'm doing now, Henry Dulip, is about the most serious thing I've ever attempted on the stage.
Serious?
Yes.
Well, according to the critics and several of my favorite mice who were among those present, your opening at the Cass Theater last night was pretty gay.
It was. Oh, it was very gay, yes. Opening nights always bring out the best in me. At least last night I really cut up and I made a perfect fool of myself.
Wasn't hard to do, was it, Mr. Horton?
No, it wasn't. Not particularly. You see, I just let myself go, and I'm perfectly natural, and I... Oh, my, who are you? Who are you? You sound like a radio announcer.
He is, Mr. Horton. This is Field and Farrington.
Oh, is he part of this?
Yes, he's here part every day. I have to put up with it all the time.
I can see that, yes.
So we just go on with it. Mm. Mr. Horton, I understand that your mother is traveling with you.
Yes, she is. She's right along.
Does she have the same sense of humor that you have?
Well, I don't know. She's always worried. Mother's always worried. Hoping that I save my money because she says it can't last much longer. She sees me in the theater and then realizes that I get paid for it, and it annoys her.
How long has it lasted so far?
Oh, my, it's going on my nth year now. After the American Revolution, I started in.
So long now that you figure it in algebra. Well, wait till you get into trigonometry.
Farrington is everything.
That's his
Ask
name.
Ask me about my antiques.
He didn't say... let me see now... Did you close up your comparatively new Hollywood home when you came on tour?
We have closed it up, definitely. We've closed all the doors and locked them. We've cut off the water. We've cut off the gas, cut off the telephone, and cut off the electricity.
No tenants. You didn't see
Oh, well,
no
we've even got camphor down in the seams of the carpet to avoid tenants of any kind. Yes,
nice. Well, that's nice, because you are a very careful man in real life, too, I see.
Well, I think Mama attends to that.
Tell me, Mr. Horton, what prompted you to return to the stage?
I think anybody that's ever been on the stage for any length of time and made any headway can never really give it up. Mm-hmm. And I found last summer that I had about 5 weeks of free time, and I got an invitation to come back with any play that I wanted and to see how I do. Mm-hmm. So I thought of this play, Springtime for Henry, and I remembered how they giggled in it and how I giggled through it. And so with a little extra money, I decided to start off. I thought maybe the hotels wouldn't be too trusting, you know, and so... What developed into a 5 weeks tour is now in its 30th week.
Boy. I remember announcing, was it June or July when I first announced you're going...
The end of June,
hats.
Yeah.
End of June. That's a lot of fun up there, too, in those companies, isn't it?
Oh, it's magnificent.
A lot
really.
Of talent
yes,
there, too.
Marvelous, yeah.
Well, does this return to your first love mean that you have abandoned pictures altogether?
Oh, I hope not. No, I never could give up pictures. I never want to give them up. I love them. I really love them.
Even a temporary return has been a good thing for the theater. You know, I know the management of the Cass Theater is mighty happy about the whole thing. Did you have fun in those little summer stock companies in New England, by the way?
Oh, I certainly did. They came and see me, and many of them they never saw anything like it in any theater in the world, you know.
Mm-hmm. I see. You know, as I talk to you, I'm reminded of several of my best moments as a movie fan of long standing, thanks to you. But I think the biggest laugh you ever gave me was when, in Lost Horizon, you opened that box on the desk and jumped back as though you'd suddenly come upon an adder. Then, cautiously opening the box again, you found that it was your own image in the mirror in the lid of the box. And then your sheepish grin. Do you remember that? Well, of all the pictures you've played in, Mr. Horton, which is your favorite?
Well, I think Lost Horizon was. And then I did one called The $10 Raise, in which I had an awfully good time. And I think that's the way the average actor judges his picture, what kind of a time he had in it. If the director was pleasant and the company was nice and the leading lady was attractive and your suggestions were accepted and maybe not used, but accepted, and you've been made to think that you're an integral part of the whole thing, That should be your best picture.
Mm-hmm.
Generally,
I
turns out to be a dud, you know.
I thought you were swelling front page, too. Didn't you enjoy that picture? You acted as though you did.
Yes, I did fairly well. But,
fairly well.
Well,
now
so
we're uncovering some dirt in my...
No, it's
that.
So long ago, I don't remember it very well.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, folks, say, by the way, can you give us some real inside dope on Kay Kaiser's picture? It sounds as though it were almost a true story. Do you know anything about how that... you, as one of the writers in the picture, you ought to know how it came to be
written. Well, they had started the picture, you see, quite a little while before I got in, and, of course, I had heard Kay Kaiser over the radio, but I'd never seen him.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, was very anxious to find out what kind of a chap he was mm-hmm. and if he was going to be nervous with his new assignment mm-hmm. because it was the first one he'd ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to tell you, Osgood, that I never ran up against a more charming, interesting, ambitious, mm-hmm. thoughtful, considerate guy in my life. He is one peach, that fella.
The personality registers, too.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the film yet. I haven't had an opportunity.
Well, you better trot over.
Am I good?
Take a peek. Oh, you're marvelous.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not kidding when I say that when you're on the screen, I can't see anything else. Now,
well, I'm the only one in that
old
scene.
Scene stealer, you. I'd like to see you and Edna Mae Oliver and Mickey Rooney together in a picture and just let you fight it out and see who won out on it.
Ask me about my antique.
You know, folks, Mr. Horton is famous for having originated what comedians call the double take. Of course, everybody uses it now, but nobody can touch the old maestro Horton himself when it comes to a really good double take. How did it originate with you, Mr. Horton?
Well, I must correct the impression that it originated with me. I understand that these double take-ems and all these funny titles that are given to gestures originated in the Hal Roach studio, where they were written down in the margin of the pages for the little kids.
Oh,
you see, the kid would come up against a direction, and instead of saying to the child, now at this point you'll register stern emotion with a slight touch of jealousy, why, they would say something that the kid could understand. Do your double take-em, or do your big dough, or do your little dough, or
that's
do your
fade-away. That's in the
Our Gang. In the Our Gang. I understand that's the way they directed them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you certainly have popularized the...
Well, yes. Of course, a double take-em is not just a swivel of the neck. It has to be a thought. I mean, the definite thing goes through your mind... Mm-hmm. That the fella has said something nice, and then it's got to occur to you that he hasn't said something mm-hmm. nice, and then you must register the little disappointment to think that he wasn't the gent that you thought he was.
Well, I think that's why a lot of them don't do it quite so well.
Now, for instance, if you say to me, Horton, you're just one egg, well, I can give you a double taken.
Mm-hmm, I see. Well, now, do you play golf?
No, I don't.
You don't play golf?
People who've seen me play tennis say that they're a little amazed.
Oh, really? How's
Well, it's definitely an exhibition of playing.
Oh, yes,
really
very good. Well, what do you excel in tennis?
Well, letting the other fellow, my partner, do everything and keeping out of his way
uh-huh.
and keeping the score.
Mm-hmm.
There's never any question about who wins.
Yeah, I see. Well, now, Mr. Horton, my gang and I, we want to thank you very much, and we're mighty grateful to you for coming in here and calling on us today. And you can count on us to call upon you at the Cass Theater this week to see your cavortings in Springtime for Henry.
Now, about my antiques.
Mr. Horton, if you don't mind, we've been hearing about your antiques ever since you first ganged up on the Crafty Crosby several years ago.
Oh, yes, the crooner. Well, I'm quite disappointed about that. I love my antiques. They're my hobby, you
yes,
know.
Yes, Mr.
And you
Horton,
take an antique.
No, yes.
And any antique
mm-hmm.
that you can...
How would you like to try a riddle, Mr. Horton?
Riddle?
Yes, I sign off with one every day, so if you can guess the answer to this one, I will ask you about your darned old antiques.
Oh, good. All right.
Well, here goes.
Here goes.
My first name is a letter in the alphabet, and my last, although not spelled the same, was once a famous European ruler. What famous radio and screen personality am I?
First letter?
Mm-hmm. First letter.
Letter, let me see, A, B, C, K.
K.
Ruler?
Yes.
Oh, my, this is fun. Oh, wait, I think I get a big stick in Europe.
Yes.
Let me see, a ruler.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say a ruler?
Yes.
Yes,
sir,
you did say it, didn't you? Yes, I have it. It's a king.
King.
K.
No,
king.
That isn't quite right. There's no K. King.
King, isn't it?
K.
Oh,
K.
I've got
K.
it.
K.
Oh, simple.
K.
Kaiser.
Right.
Oh, am I marvelous.
Now?
Oh, Mr. Osgood, don't forget your promise.
No, I won't, Mr. Horton. What is your pet hobby?
Well, now... Oh, it's funny you should ask me that, Mr. Howard. Oh, very few people know. My pet hobby is collecting antiques. You know, I have some...
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard an interview with Mr. Edward Everett Horton, who is appearing in person this week in Springtime for Henry at the Cass Theater. Mr. Horton was interviewed by Dick Osgood, who is presented every weekday afternoon at this same time except Saturday. This is the Michigan Radio Network.